Tuesday, March 3rd. The lesson from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. In those days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Thesbite, saying, "Arise and go to Sarepta of the Sidonians and dwell there, for I have commanded a widow woman there to feed you." He arose and went to Sarepta. And when he was come to the gate of the city, he saw the widow woman gathering sticks, and he called her and said to her, "Give me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And when she was going to fetch it, he called after her, saying, "Bring me also, I beseech you, a morsel of bread in your hand." And she answered, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, but only a handful of meal in a pot, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Fear not, but go and do as you have said. But first make for me of the same meal a little hearth cake, and bring it to me. And after make for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the pot of meal shall not waste, nor the cruse of oil be diminished, until the day wherein the Lord will give rain upon the face of the earth." She went and did according to the word of Elijah, and he ate, and she, and her house. And from that day the pot of meal wasted not, and the cruse of oil was not diminished, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke in the hand of Elijah. Haydock Commentary. It appears that the widow had received no precise intimation of Elijah's coming. She was not an Israelite, but probably a pagan. Many suppose that Elijah did not know at first that she was to entertain him, but both the one and the other might be divinely instructed how to act. In due time, the widow and the prophet became acquainted with the will of God and complied with it. He puts the faith of the widow to a severe trial, and the gospel requires nothing more perfect than what she practiced. The true faith which she then received was her first and most precious recompense, and we shall soon see that her guest drew down blessings upon her. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. At that time, Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have sat on the chair of Moses. All things, therefore, that they command you, observe and do, but do not act according to their works. For they talk, but do nothing, and they bind together heavy and oppressive burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but not with one finger of their own do they choose to move them. In fact, all their works they do in order to be seen by men. For they widen their phylacteries and enlarge their tassels, and love the first places at suppers and the front seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men rabbi. But do not you be called rabbi, for one is your master, and all you are brothers. And call no one on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one only is your master, the Christ. He who is the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." Haydock Commentary. Jesus spoke to the multitude a few days previous to his passion. It is here observable that our Savior, after he had tried all possible remedies, after he had taught and confirmed his doctrines by innumerable miracles, after he had secretly by his parables reprehended them for their wickedness, but without effect, now publicly upbraids their vices. But before his reprehension of the Pharisees, he instructs the people lest they should despise the authority of the priesthood. The scribes, who professed the greatest zeal for the law of Moses and gloried in being the interpreters of it, sat upon the chair of Moses, succeeded to his authority of governing the people of God, of instructing them in his law, and of disclosing to them his will. Such, therefore, as did not depart from the letter of the law were called scribes. But such as professed something higher and separated themselves from the crowd as better than the ordinary class of men were called Pharisees, which signifies separated. So says Origen. God preserves the truth of the Christian religion in the Apostolic See of Rome, which in the New Law answers to the chair of Moses, notwithstanding the disedifying conduct of some few of its bishops. Yet, though a traitor as vile as Judas himself were a bishop thereof, it would not be prejudicial to the integrity of the faith of God's church, or to the ready obedience and perfect submission of sincere good Christians, for whom our Lord has made this provision when he says, "Do that which they say, but do not as they do." So says St. Augustine. Christ does not tell them to observe everything without exception that the Pharisees should say to them. For, as it was observed in a previous chapter, many superstitions and false ordinances had obtained amongst them, corrupting the scriptures by their traditions, but only such things as were not contrary to the law of Moses. We are taught to obey bad no less than good ministers in those things that are not expressly contrary to the law of God. The scribes and Pharisees greatly increase the burdens of others by multiplying their obligations, whilst they will not offer themselves the least violence in observing them or alleviating the burden by taking any share upon their own shoulders. The phylacteries were pieces or scrolls of parchment on which were written the Ten Commandments or some sentences of the law, which the Jews were accustomed to fasten to their foreheads or their arms to put them in mind of their duty. Thus they interpreted those words of Deuteronomy 6:8, "Thou shalt tie them as a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be and move before thy eyes." Perhaps all the Jews and even our Savior himself wore them, and that he only blames the hypocrisy and vanity of the scribes and Pharisees who affected to have them larger than others. And they did the like as to the fringes which the Jews wore on their garments. One is your master or teacher, who is the Christ, and under him one vicar, the successor of St. Peter, with whom all Catholic teachers are one, because they all teach one and the same doctrine in every part of the Christian world. Whereas in the multiplicity of modern sects, which are every day dividing and subdividing into fresh sects, no two leaders can be found teaching in all points exactly the same tenets, as each is not only allowed, but expected to follow his own private spirit, and to build his creed upon his own interpretation of Scripture. Call no one on earth your father. The meaning is that our Father in heaven is incomparably more to be regarded than any father upon earth, and no master is to be followed who would lead us away from Christ. But this does not hinder but that we are by the law of God to have a due respect for both our parents and spiritual fathers, see 1 Corinthians 4:15, and for our masters and teachers. Nothing is here forbidden but the contentious divisions and self-assumed authority of such as make themselves leaders and favorers of schisms and sects. He by no means forbids the title of Father, attributed by the faith, piety, and confidence of good people to their directors, for St. Paul tells the Corinthians that he is their only spiritual father.